alone in the bough of a tree, searching for God. Where could he be? He labors in vain, trying to live a good life, but he can't ignore the pain and the strife. A mother gives up her only child as a sacrifice to a God of this world. Yet what will she gain? Will she ever know? Will she learn of Jesus unless we go? Will they ever know? Will they ever see the love of God the way it should be? Will they ever hear the simple truth for them to know? It's up to me and you.
Someday before the Lord, before all mankind, we will see how we've been so blind. We'll see all the souls for which we didn't care, and as they're condemned, we'll know we put them there. And now they'll never truth for them to know. It's up to me and you. For them to know, it's up to me.
Thank you, girls. Let's stand together. We'll read a couple verses, and then we'll let you be seated. Let's all stand. Did everybody get a handout today? Not the kind of handout you're looking for. We don't have those, all right? If you didn't get one, raise your hand on the patio also, if we got those. Okay, we need some down here. Brother James? Oh, okay, got one. Sorry. All right. Been looking at the church. We're going to continue that tonight. We'll just read the introductory verses here on your sheet together, and then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read verses 25 to 27. It says, husbands, love your wives. You always say that, but let me finish the verse, okay? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Okay, that's heavy. It's responsibility. Gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity and the few minutes we have tonight to look at your word. Pray you'd help us, encourage us, Lord, in this important aspect of church life, the Christian life, our relationships one with another. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless us, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we've been teaching on the church for a few weeks now. We've mentioned early on that, of course, Christ is the head of the church. Our purpose is to honor and glorify him in all that we do. We looked at the people of the church, who should be a member, what are our requirements for membership. We looked at the purpose of the church, of course, which is fulfilling the Great Commission, not just here, but in our immediate surrounding areas, and then in our country and worldwide. And then last week, we took a look at the beliefs of the church and why we're a Baptist church and what we believe, and that really everybody believes something, okay? All these people, well, you know, you guys just have these. We're just kind of free. We don't really have, yeah, they do. It's just that it's a lot lower than they would have you to believe, and we won't go into that. Now, but take a little turn here. The church is also about relationships and fellowship with other Christians. Our relationship to each other is vitally important. John chapter 13, and we'll refer to this verse, back to this verse in a little bit. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but loving each other and the importance of that relationship. Now, we also understand that that's part of the greatest command given by Jesus Christ. Love the Lord our God with everything we have, of course, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Those two are intertwined one with another. Now, nowhere is that played out more realistically here than in the church. We are to have proper relationships, love for one another. The church is a unified body. We're supposed to have unity, be together. We're a unified spiritual family. By the way, our church will go nowhere if we're not unified. Okay, we have to stay on course together. And that's very, very important. Look at some of the verses that I put on your sheet there for you to look at. God thinks unity is a pretty big deal. Psalm chapter 133 and verse 1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, if you have children, more than one, you want your children to get along with one another. Now, they are still children, and believe it or not, there will be times they don't get along. Okay? How many of you have children? Sometimes they don't get along. Okay? Yeah. The rest of you are lying. Now, but we enjoy it when they're getting along and they're helping each other out and all those type of things. Well, God wants us in the church, we need to get along with one another. We need to have a unity. By the way, when we talked about the things we've already talked about the last several weeks, the reason we need to understand those things because those are the things that are going to unify us. Our doctrines, our beliefs, our purpose, where we're going, we need to have that in common because we're going the same direction. The same direction unifies us. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47 on your sheet. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They had a singleness of heart in all that they were doing. They were in one accord. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Okay? Unity. Unity in belief. Unity in spirit. Philippians 2:1, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That doesn't mean we're all robots and we're all the same and all that. No, we're different. By the way, that's what makes it hard for us to get along with each other sometimes. fact that we're different, we have different strengths, different personalities, those type of things. And so we need to work on that and be unified in the church. It does mean we are unified in our love for God, our love for each other, and in our passion in fulfilling God's purpose in the church. Got to be on the same page. You can't have a church that has factions here and there. Well, I think we should be doing this. I think we should be doing that. Well, you know, I have my group over there, and they have their group over there. That kind of, no. We need to be unified, and we need to be together in everything that we do. By the way, Satan uses that stuff to keep us from going forward. Because we're so busy with all the, and by the way, we don't have a problem here, but we're so busy with all the other nonsense we have to deal with that you can't get out and do what God wants you to do. We'll talk more about that in a bit. We are to guard against anybody. Now, this is important. That would hinder our unity. We cannot let people drive a wedge, okay? And there's a primary way they do it. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 there. Many of us, probably about 4 or 5 months ago, we preached a message on God's hate list. But look what he says. These 6 things that the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him, a proud look. We went through all of it. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Just a fact of the life, some people's personality, this is the way they are, they try to sow little seeds of antagonism in the church. Well, you know, over there, we just don't let someone criticize your church. Someone tries to be critical, say, look, I go there. If you choose not to come here, that's between you and God. We're not saying you're a bad person. That's like me going to your family and saying, your family's horrible. Okay? It's our church family. By the way, if you listen to that stuff, even if it's not true, which it's not most of the time, it plants something in your mind. Well, you know Ryan Rawl, he does this and this. I'm like, no, he doesn't. And they tell you all about it and say, no, I don't think so. Well, the next time I see him, I'm going to filter it through what I heard. Okay, so be very careful. Don't let someone do that. Would you let someone come and start saying things about your wife in your house? No. Okay, so sowing discord. By the way, with social media, it's so easy to do those type of things. It just seems now because people can hide behind a picture or hide behind an app or hide behind a web page, they'll say things they wouldn't normally say in the first place. Little negative comments, okay? And I've seen some before. Somebody's like, hey, so-and-so. It's like, don't you don't need to even follow them, okay? Well, they're my friend. Now, they're my. I love them too. But if they're being critical of somebody, I'm not following them. They'll be a long distance friend, because I'm going to learn that spirit. Okay, and so we need to be very careful about that. Our relationships with each other are important. Now, the Bible not only tells us the importance of our spiritual relationships, the Bible also spells them out and explains to them how they work. Okay, and that's a blessing. God didn't do that. I know, and the Bible explains all of that. So we're going to look at those today. Satan uses conflict in the church between members to hinder our work. The more mature we are, the easier it is for us to overlook some of those things and to work them out. You know, people come to your church, oh, you know, the church is one, and they get to know other people. Someone has a bad day. Well, if we're mature, we work that out. Not a big deal. It's just something you work out. A good church that's reaching people, you'll have a bunch of people at different spiritual levels. Some of them less mature. But that's why the Bible always admonishes the ones that are more spiritual are the ones that are supposed to be the peacemakers. Not taking sides, not pushing it forward. Work it out. Attacks from outside the church typically will not hurt the church. Typically, that'll bring the church together. Our country, if you know, now I don't know now because we have a president that probably wouldn't do anything, but We can have all this strife inside, but if someone attacked our country, it used to be that would unify us to say, excuse me? We're not doing that, and we'll band together to go fight. But you know what kills a church? Within. It's the stuff within. Now, we've never had one here, but you know, a church split? There's churches that actually split. I heard a pastor one time, he was teaching at a pastor's conference, and he was talking about how to survive a church split, because he went through one. But here's the story. He said the Sunday before the church split, his assistant pastor, he saw him just talking to people, and then the next Sunday, he saw him talking to people. It was like a little bit different. And what he was telling them, that a certain time during the service, they were all going to get up and leave. And right middle of service, half of them got up and left. Now, that's bad, but here's what's worse. The assistant pastor was his brother. Okay? Try to fix that. Now, thankfully, we haven't had that. But we got to work on it. That's what kills a church. Nothing from the outside will cause a church to split. Someone that was here, someone that's, you know, and so we need to guard that. And the way we guard it is by having good relationships. By having the right spirit with one another and working together in everything that we do. The key phrase in the New Testament when it talks about our relationships as Christians is the phrase one another. So what we're going to do is we're going to read this phrase. Usually it's teaching us how we're supposed to act or some ingredients we're supposed to have in our relationships with each other. Let's look at the way the Bible tells us to treat one another. Now we're not going to finish tonight. We're just going to get started tonight. By the way, let me say this. Why are you going to look at this? Because things always go better when you just follow the Bible. Things just go better. When you don't follow the Bible, you have drama. Drama. I don't like drama. Now, I've met some people, I think they like drama. Because if there isn't any, they'll create some. I don't like drama. Now, by the way, if drama comes, we'll deal with it. You don't run from it. But it's like, some people are just because they don't follow the Bible and they don't get God's principles, they just think drama is a part of life. Well, that's just how it is. You go from this problem to that problem to this problem. There's a better way to live. Follow the principles. If you listen to people, everybody's a Bible-believing Christian. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I'd rather be a Bible-living Christian. And so let's follow the Bible tonight. We're going to look at one, the first principle. This is basically the bottom line one from which all the others will get their energy. Number one, love one another. Love one another. Love is the motivation for all the things that we do in relationship. Everything else we'll talk about in the next week, it all starts, the foundation is love. Without that, we won't do anything. And by the way, anything you do without love is not, I would just say worthless. Look at the verses in 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, just noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith that I should remove mountains, and I have enough faith to say, mountain, you move, and it moves. He says, and have not charity. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. You can give everything you have to help poor people. You can even offer your body as a martyr. But if you don't have love, it's nothing. It's got to be motivated by love. And particularly love for God and love for other. We're going to look at several of these one another type verses when it relates to love. And as we look at them, it kind of tells us what love really is in our life. Here's the keys to love. Look at the your paper. I want to make sure you get the blanks, okay? We haven't missed anything yet, right? Good, because you always accuse me of that. Letter A, it's commandment. It's a commandment. Now, that doesn't sound very That doesn't sound lovey-dovey. Oh, why do you love me? God commanded me to. That doesn't sound good. You want to say, well, because you're a wonderful person and you know, this and that and the other, and I just want to. No, no, no. God said I had to. God commanded it. I'm doing it. Amen. By the way, that'll last a long time, but it just doesn't sound good. Try that with your life. Honey, I love you because God said. Wow. That's better than flowers. Not really. We looked at the verses, verse 34 of John there. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So if it's a commandment, what does that mean? It's not an option. Not an option. Okay? You say, oh, someone in the church is irritating. By the way, it might just be you. I don't know. If you might want to just put that one in your pocket and think about it. They're irritating. They're hard to love. It's not an option. We've got to love them. That doesn't mean we need to spend 3 weeks with them, okay? Love them. Care about them. It's not a feeling. That's where we are in our society. Love's, oh, it's a feeling. When I'm around you, I just feel like I stuck my finger in a light socket. By the way, people usually die from that. Think about that one. No, it's not a feeling. By the way, if it's a feeling, it won't last because feelings come and feelings go. Some days you're in a good mood, things are going great, it's easier to put up with stuff. Other days, you've had a rough day, it's not that easy to put up with stuff. But if you do it because God commands you to do it, it doesn't matter how you feel. You're going to be loving. Love must be built on something more than just how our flesh feels. By the way, that's why the average relationship, if it's not done correctly by God's way, doesn't last. Because a guy meets a girl, and it's like, oh, she's cute, and he's handsome, and then they got God's order of how it's supposed to go inside out, and the feely and the fleshy part comes first, and then they try to tack commitment and marriage onto it, and it usually doesn't last. You have the commitment and all that first and make a choice. The other stuff comes later. But we're all upside down. We wonder why relationships don't last. Marriages don't last. People constantly have trouble. We're not committed to one another. It's a commandment. We're supposed to love each other. We have to love one another. Letter B. It's our example. Jesus said, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Who's the example to follow in our relationships? Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate example. By the way, that's another one of those heavy things. Kind of like husbands love your wife, amen, as Christ loved the church. That's heavy. By the way, you can't do that on your own. And then it says, as I have loved each other the way I've loved you. How did Jesus love us? Well, look at it. Jesus came and died for us. We weren't seeking him. All we have gone astray. We all do our own thing. We disobey him so often. Okay? Jesus didn't come down and say, man, I'm going to die because those people are good people. They're worth. No, we were sinners. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was nothing good about us. He says, well, that's a good deal. We think that sometimes. Some person gets saved and they're sharp and it's like, wow, that's a good one there. No, no, none of us are good. Jesus always gets the bad end of the deal. Kind of like your wife did, all right? Bad end of the deal. But he loved us anyhow. So what right do we have not to love somebody else? If we're going to be like Jesus, he's our example. By the way, he sacrificed for us. We live in, but by the way, I'll tell you why we struggle. We live in such a self-saturated society, right? Now, come on. And by the way, it's getting worse. So, yeah, the new word, selfie. Pictures of myself, you know. Hold on, I got a text here. I got to get back to this. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take selfies if my kids are in them. I'm taking a picture with my kid. I don't want to see myself. That's not good. It's just, for me, it's good for you, but it's not good for me. By the way, I mean, you hear that story about that girl. There was a girl that was heavily criticized. She was a young girl. She went to Auschwitz, the German concentration camp. How many know what I'm talking about? And this girl was at this concentration camp, and that's a heavy place to be. When you realize the thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people that were brutally murdered there. And you know what she did while she was there? She got between the two rows and took a selfie of herself with a nice big old smile. And they were getting on her like, today's generation doesn't get it. She saw it as just another tourist attraction. To take a picture of myself, I've been here. Instead of thinking of the atrocities that took place there. And I'm not blaming her. That's our society. Okay? We are so selfish. Most problems are selfishness. You know, I'm finding out, and I've known for years, you know, most marriage counseling is not counseling, it's refereeing. In this corner, you know, weighing whatever, I won't say. Slightly less than her husband, I won't say it. But, you know, it's because it's all about, here's how I feel. And that's legitimate, but here's how, instead of like, what do we have to do to get better? What can I do to make this better? In any relationship. But that's just the selfishness aspect of it. We need to work on that. You want, and so people are, oh, you know, what would Jesus do? Not what you're doing. Okay? So what would Jesus do? Well, let's take a look at Philippians here. Philippians chapter 2. Let nothing but be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man after the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It's not something to be grasped onto. In other words, what that's saying, although he was God in the flesh, he didn't come to the earth for the purpose of declaring necessarily his godhood and attaining that. He came for the purpose of being a servant to die for our sins. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I don't think we get that. Do you understand? That was the God, creator of the universe, taking flesh and being a servant. We can't even clean a toilet. And here he is washing the disciples' feet. And he created those feet. That was Jesus. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death, even the death of the cross. So we want to be like Jesus? That's what we need to do. Follow his example. Letter C. It's our witness. It's our witness. By this shall all men know yet ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now we think it's other things. It's, you know, disciple by, I carry my Bible. Hey, that's good. That's good. By the way, you might want to read it. You can carry it. You might crack it open every now and then. You know, people know I'm a Christian because of you know, I try to present myself and look like a Christian. That's fine. That's good. But you know what people are really looking for? They want to see the way we interact with each other. Because they don't see that in the world. You work in the world, you probably know this. You see some of the people, just they can be cruel and mean for no reason. There's not a lot of love there. Now, sometimes you'll get a friend and a couple, they're kind of a little latch on to be helpful, but it's like most of them, and even if they are, because they're not Christian, they don't even know how to help. But they don't see that. In fact, if we see it, it's like, wow, somebody does something over and above. It's like, what a novel thing of life. And it's like, that should just be normal. That's what is the badge of a Christian, how we relate one to another. By the way, people are looking for those kind of relationships. And if they can come into church, Of course, we get them saved and all those things, and they see that they can get what they've been looking for. And God's, through, of course, first a relationship with God, and then a solid, godly relationship with other Christians. By the way, that's why we got to be very careful we don't get too locked into us and our friends. We don't even notice new people coming. We ought to always notice new people coming and get on them and not get on them, don't tackle them, but, you know, make them feel welcome and shake their hand who are you looking for? Can I help you find your place? And what can I do for it? Man, they're looking for that. Well, let's make sure we give it to them. Very important. It's our witness. If we are no different in our relationships than the world, then we will make no impact on the world. And by the way, that's where we're at. And a lot of it is people who claim to be Christians aren't real Christians. You can go there, that's fine. But most of the churches that claim Christianity are just all the nonsense. It's just, there's nothing different in there than there is out in the world. That people are like, why would I go here? If everything is the same and I'm just hearing about God, but I'm not seeing him do anything in anybody's life. They want to see it in us and how we relate one with another. The fact of the matter is, if we don't have that kind of relationship, the only imprint that we leave on the world is a negative one. And by the way, Christians don't expect you to be perfect. They expect you to be different. But we leave a negative. Oh, you Christians. I saw you did this, this, and this. I saw two of them over there fist fight. Oh, that's not, whatever. When we were first getting our drawings for the new building, Greg Gleffler was our first architect. He helped us a little bit at the beginning, and we were talking to him, and he goes, look, he goes, because we were going to have to go meet with the city and talk to the city about this, and you know how that was if you were here in those days. There were people that came down there and said things that weren't people. You know, yeah, they're parking in front of my house. I live across the street. They lived half a mile away. They were lying. They come here, and he's like, you better make sure you have everything in order before you go before the city. He said, I went to one church. They went to the city to present their plan. They opened up the floor, and someone got up and spoke in opposition about the new building, and it was a member of that church. And the mayor got up and said, hey, we're shelving this until you, pastor, can make sure you got everything together in your own house. Okay? It's the negative imprint. And we don't want to do that in our relationships one with another. When people come on this property, they want to see, they see the joyfulness. They see the people talking, okay? And they see the people having a, you know, it's just like there's something different there. They want to get in on that, okay? They're looking for it. Letter D. I must hurry. It's our obligation. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What's our obligation to others? We need to love them. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That's the thing that we need to have. It's our obligation to everybody that comes. You know, someone will come to church, as I alluded to earlier, and they're like, wow, this place is great, and they love it, and they meet some people, and everything's wonderful, and then they're here for, you know, several months, and inevitably, they're going to come, and they're going to catch someone on a bad day. Maybe their kid got bit by one of the nursery workers or something. I don't know. Just a little, something's just not completely right. And it's like, whoa, I thought they walked on water. Nobody walks on water. But it's at that time, it's our obligation to keep our relationships right. By the way, when something goes a little wrong, it's at that point that you see if you get it right, that makes a relationship stronger and proves that you really love them. I thought when I went to Bible college, I thought, wow, I'd only been serving God for a year. I go off to Bible college. I'm like, man, I am with the cream of the crop. These people are all going to love God. This is going to be great. Then I got a roommate. This guy was a pagan. For a while there, I doubted his salvation. I mean, it was bad enough to where I'd come in, like, guys, out of the room. He'd bring his buddies in. I'm like, I feel like I'm at the bar. Like, you guys you can go to your own dorm. I was trying to be nice. But, you know, I got along with him, and I tried to, and I communicated with him. And, I mean, it was bad. Like, he had, like, preaching tapes with rock music on them. It wasn't Brother Hiles. It was somebody else. And I tried to reach out to him, you know, he kind of was forced to go there, and I had a good relationship with him. I tried to love the guy and be nice to him, but I was in for a rude awakening. I'm like, okay, not. And then two dorms down, there was a fist fight. I'm like, wow, Bible college and boxing all in one. Great. No one's perfect, okay, but we need to work together. It's our obligation to love one another. Letter E, it's our obedience, and we kind of mentioned this a little bit. It's our obedience. Jesus tells us, by the way, this is his, what's that word in 1 John 3:23? And this is his, it's commandment. The end of the verse, it's commandment. Okay? And so whenever we have a commandment, we have one of two options. Option one, obey. Option two, disobey. By the way, when you disobey, consequences come, and then the choices are a lot more complicated. The best choice is to obey. Let's just love each other. And then the last thing is this. It's our cover. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Charity is love. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Cover is like a hiding. Now, it's not a hiding as in, you know, like we cover up. You know, by the way, someone does something sinful and it's horrific and it's something that would be against the law, guess what? 911. We don't hide stuff, okay? We're not talking about that. Talking about people aren't perfect. It's talking about a covering in a sense of helping them to get victory over what's going on. We don't bring it up and throw it in their face. By the way, people come to church and they're hurting, okay? And they need help. Let us make sure, though. Now, listen, this is important. Nothing else I said was. When you say that, it's like, oh, nothing else was important. Yeah, this is. No, this stuff was just. This is important. When people come to church, especially if they haven't been here for a while, they don't need you probing into their lives. Okay, and I know we mean well, but someone comes back to church, they haven't been here. Well, brother, look what the cat drug in. Hey, man, good to see you. Where you been? We had the FBI looking for you. Okay. People come back. Could just be they were missing church. But if they are, you know, when you're, you know, you don't go somewhere for a while, you're embarrassed when you come back. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, man, someone's going to say something. And sure enough, the first person says that. Now, we should be good about that. But it's like, look, just, hey, how you doing? Great to see you. How's everything going? Well, nothing's going on in their life. They just been missing church. That's fine. Don't probe. Well, what's going on here? What's about? Don't ask. Well, how can I just don't ask? Be sensitive. By the way, if it's a problem going on in their life and they want your help, they'll tell you about it. Okay, if there's something that, you know, that just was going, don't ask. Just be, look. When I visit someone or send them a letter or whatever for their absence, they're absent, I don't say, you know, hey, we had a great lesson last Sunday on marriage. Now, you and your wife are throwing pots and pans at each other. You probably should have been here. It's like sometimes you want to say that. Don't say that. It's not about like knocking the door, knock, knock. Where were you? No. It's like, hey, how's everything going? Great, just want to come by, man. Looking forward to tomorrow at church. Hope to see you in class. Hope you can make it on time. If they want to, and now inevitably they'll say, man, I'm sorry I missed last week. No, that's okay. Now, by the way, if Oscar misses and I don't know what's going on, I'm probably going to call him. Okay, hey, man, what are you doing? He wouldn't mind. But let's be encouraging to people.
Yes, sir.
Okay? If something's going on in their life, let them tell us. And then we can pray for them and help them. We don't say, really? Man, I'm going to pray for you. Hey, Oscar, did you hear about so-and-so? We need to pray for him because this is going on. And brother, you tell Oscar, everybody in the church knows. Okay? I hope you understand what I'm saying. But love says, I'm glad you're here. And I'm going to convey to you that I'm glad you're here. And we love you. You need anything, let me know. Okay? And let's help them feel, everybody feel comfortable. All right? Let's pray.